What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. It's the second one of, well, I can't even say that. It is the second recording of 2023, which is great. I was just talking to our guests here that I'm going to introduce in about 2 seconds, and I was just saying how I've been doing this for almost 3 years, and that's pretty wild to me. I mean, I kind of started this as like a BS, let's see what happens, and we've done one ever since, every single week. Never taken a week off. This is like episode 130 something. I think we might be 140, something like that. 140 straight weeks of country music. And I love it. I really do. So anyone that comes back and listens each week, I appreciate it. Even if you find my voice annoying, that's okay. Cause it's not about me. It's about everyone else. So I'm really excited, but I get to hang out with a guy who I've been listening to for at least 3 years at this point. Killer songwriter, killer artist in his own right, and he's got some new stuff coming, so we're going to talk about that and a hell of a lot more. Dan Smalley. Dude, Dan, thanks for coming to hang out with me, man. I appreciate it. You rock. This can be great.
I appreciate you, man. Thanks for the invite.
Of course. So just to start off here, I want to get into just kind of this one little thing that I read just off your website. It's very common knowledge. You were born in Alaska. Is this true?
This is very true.
That's very cool.
Yeah, Anchorage, Alaska. I was a military brat. Yeah. I haven't been back though. I can't wait to make it back. It's on my bucket list of places to return to. Yeah. But I was definitely born there. And I think we moved when I was like two or three. Nice. So I have absolutely zero recollection of the place.
But, so did you move often though, being a military kid?
Yeah, we moved to Alabama where I can remember. And from there, I can remember moving to Ohio. And then in Ohio we moved from Dayton to Xenia, and then from Xenia my parents split, and so my mom moved to Kansas with another military guy, and so I went back and forth from Kansas to Ohio for a year or two, and then that guy got orders to Korea, so we moved back to my mother's home state, which was Louisiana, and got there in 99, and I moved back and forth from Louisiana to Ohio, I think twice, until 2000. Until I started high school in 2000, I was like, I'm done.
So and you really went all over
to Japan, and I was like, he's like, you can come to Japan with me, and I was like, yeah, I could. That would be cool. I mean, it would have been really cool, except we would have had to be there like I think 3 years, and then I would have come back my senior year to just like land in some school back in the States as some kid that was overseas for. I was like, nah. I want to play football in one school for high school. And so I stayed in Shreveport long enough to want to get the hell out of there.
And I imagine that the football in Japan wouldn't be all that great. So good thing you stayed.
I can't imagine it would have been as good as 5A football in Louisiana.
I agree.
5A football in Louisiana was like, I don't know. The closest thing I can find to 5A football in Louisiana is being on a stage in front of thousands of people, killing it. And that's my thing in the world to do now. Ever since then, I just like,
I love it. So it's funny. It's funny that you moved around so often, because like I'm a guy. So I live in northern New Jersey, right? And I'm a guy who moved away to go to college, and then I came back, and I'll probably move again eventually. But I haven't been really anywhere else besides these two spots my entire life. So it's always really fascinating when people just say like, you know, I've been here. I think it's really cool. I mean, I also imagine that it probably brings on its challenges like most things, but I think it's really cool. And the fact that you were born in Alaska and on your birth certificate, it says Anchorage, Alaska. It's gotta be pretty sick.
Yeah, pretty cool. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure the people that live there think it's pretty normal. Just a birth certificate, though. I think I'm definitely a product of my raising that when it comes to like just being from all over the place. People listen to me like, where are you from? Is just what I have in me and where I'm from. I'm just kind of a mixture of all these things, the Midwest, South, just all of it.
Yeah. Well, do you think that just to slide into and kind of loop that into music real quick, do you think that that kind of helped your music taste? Because you were having all these different friends from this bunch of different states, right? And they all probably listen to different stuff. And I imagine when you're in Louisiana, there's that like swampy country R&B type sound, right? Which is where I think a lot of your stuff comes from, or at least to my ear it does, but what do I know? But I mean, I would imagine that you had probably so many influences in terms of just the people you're hanging out with. And, you know, you're on the football team. So I'm sure that there's a lot of music being played there, but I'm sure there was so much going on, like an absolute melting pot of music.
So my dad was a singer in the military.
That's cool.
So the music started at a very young age and with me, myself, and in my family. It was his whole family where they kind of grew up singing together and going to line dances and stuff together. And but he himself was a vocalist in the Air Force.
Cool.
So I watched him do everything from sing country music to rock and roll to productions of like Les Mis and Beauty and the Beast. And I watched him wear tights and perform on Camelot and just like all these things where I was kind of like, Dad, what are you doing? And but at the same time, I was like, damn, my dad's a bad dude. Like, like to just have the confidence, not only to do something like that, but then the ability. The Duke sings his ass off straight up, just like always has. And so I kind of grew up watching him do it. And he would pull me up on stage when I'm like 4 or 5 years old to sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer in front of thousands of people at the, you know, the Masonic Temple in Dayton, Ohio. Things like that would happen. And so I'm just always kind of been there or backstage with him or in rehearsals, you know, at the on bass, or on the road with him in the rock band and the country band, and like rolling up cables, you know what I mean, setting up drums, and just been doing that my whole life. I started playing football too around the same time, so he was always like, what are you gonna do when you can't play football? And I was always like, I'll just be a country singer, Dad.
That's so awesome. I think that's cool. Wait, how do you get this is interesting, because like how do you get involved in music while you're in the Air Force? Like, is it like an extracurricular type deal, or like how did, like I've heard of that before. I have a, you know, I have a friend who's in the Army, but he doesn't sing or anything. He just you know, he does what he does, and I don't even know exactly what he does in the Army, but you know, he's stationed somewhere, and he, you know, but how do you get involved in that kind of stuff? And it seems like he was very involved.
So the best way I can explain it, so it was a whole division, a whole squadron devoted to entertainment and music. I forget when it was established in the military, but I'm pretty sure a lot of it has been phased out in a lot of the branches at this point. I don't even know if they have as many like military bands as they used to anymore. I feel like the budgets had all got cut. Mm-hmm. And the way he explained it to me, how it happened, was he enlisted in the military and he had a musical background in high school and a little bit in college. So he could read music, he could play an instrument, and he could sing. And those were requirements to be included in this line. So you want to be an infantry in this line. You want to be, you want to fly helicopters or planes, you got to get in this line. You want to be a doctor or a nurse or anything, you got to get in this line. Well, this line is for musicians, and they just put him over there because he had that and probably looked like he shouldn't be anywhere close to combat or anything else. Like, oh, you've been singing your whole life. Keep doing that, guy. Basically is what it sounded like. And so he kind of got lucky the way he put it to me. And he's like, what you're going to have to do is something completely different. And that's a million times harder than what I happened to happen into.
Right. I think that's
absolutely correct.
Right. I mean, it's kind of like you're just opening a door and you're just trying to see what happens. That's basically what it turns out to be. Right. Cause like, you don't really know, you don't know how it's going to go. And I guess in your dad's case, like he was just kind of, like you said, put in the line, and it's like, okay, well, he's talented, so now he's got to be forced to use that talent. Yes. Right. No one had to find him. He just had to follow the line. Pretty crazy.
And they gave him a job, and it was amazing. And now he's retired, and he did it for 30 years, you know. And nowadays, what I'm trying to do, I try to explain to people, is kind of like trying to be a professional athlete, except now that you are good enough to be a professional athlete, now you have to go win a popularity contest to prove to everybody else that you're good enough to be a professional athlete.
Right.
It kind of happened over the past couple decades, really the last decade, I would say, as soon as social media started creeping in, it was like, well, it doesn't matter really how talented you are anymore. There's a lot of talented people out there. Everybody gets that. If you want to make money doing this, you have to have a fan base. And that's a popularity contest is what it is. So it's just go get popular.
And it absolutely is. And that's, we talk about this all the time. And like a big conversation is the fact that social media is a great tool, but it also turned a lot of this into the number under your little follower count. Absolutely. Right. Yeah. That's absolutely what it turned out. It doesn't matter how talented you are. It doesn't matter how good you are, because there's 20 of them that are just as talented that, you know, do the same thing. But, you know, this one person might have 20,000 more followers or a million followers. It doesn't really matter. It just, and that's what sucks. As great of a tool as it is, that's what sucks.
I think it sucks. I think it's it is what it is.
And it is what it is. You're 100% right.
It's kind of the universe.
Totally. And I think that you're absolutely correct. Like it stinks in the aspect of like, maybe someone doesn't, this is kind of more what I meant. Maybe someone doesn't kind of give you that listen because of the fact that this person's got more, right? Totally. Doesn't mean you could be so much better than that one person, but just be like, some people look at it as tunnel vision in terms of social media. And that's not what it is. And that's not how I try and approach it, but I know there's a lot of people that do. So as great as a tool as it is, you're 100% correct. You're absolutely correct. It is definitely a little bit more of a popularity contest than it was, let's say, 10 years ago. So, you know, it's interesting.
I think the ones that figure out how to not let it like eat away at their soul are the ones that win, no matter how big or small they may be, or however long or short the career might be. I don't know. I've been playing music for a very, very long time, and I'll be playing music for the rest of my life. So like how popular I get, that's not really up to me. Now I can push avenues and content into certain positions and places to hopefully maybe elevate my family, because that's exactly what I'm trying to do, is just like pay my bills, take care of my wife and my kids, and play music, living just like my pops did. Except not in the military. And I don't think there's any reason at this point I shouldn't be able to. So hopefully this record really helps me make that a possibility.
And I think it will. Sure. I think it will. I want to dive into that. And before, I feel like for me, and for me, like I kind of want to start at this point because I think it's kind of important. So a few years ago, so honestly, Dan, like a few years ago, I didn't know who you were, right? Right? Like probably 3 years ago, I wasn't sure. I was scrolling through, I don't know if it was iTunes or whatever it was. I was scrolling through something, maybe Spotify, Apple Music, and I found your EP, your 4-song EP, right? And I was like, oh, I have no idea who this guy is. And that's great for me because I'm always like, great, I don't want to know who the person is. I want to try and, you know, find a new artist that I loved. So I listened to this 4-song EP and I loved it. I thought it was great. I was like, oh, this is cool, because like we talked about before, it's got that traditional sound, but it's still also kind of modern, and there's a couple of little things going on there. And I mean, it's totally elevated with this new project that we'll get into, but like these 4 songs, I was like, okay, they're really good. And I don't know who this guy is. And I don't really want to, I just want to find out more. And then like, I was just like, okay, well, Dan's gone. I don't know where Dan is. And there's obviously reasons for that, and we'll talk about that. But do you think that this 4-song EP, right? Like, did you need to put these songs out to kind of realize, like you said, you've been playing music for a long time. You've written for some incredible people, right? You've written so many great songs. Ashley McBride, you wrote Velvet Red, I'm pretty sure, right? Randall King, Hard Way to Make It Rain on the new record. Like you've written Trace Adkins, like you've written so many great songs. And as a writer, you're incredible. And as an artist, you're just as damn good, if not better. And all of a sudden I was like, man, I love this guy so much. And I don't really know where he is right now. And I'm sure that a lot of that was because you're trying to hone in on your craft. Do you think you needed to put these 4 songs out so you can really figure out where you wanted to be in terms of music?
No. Those 4 songs were a project with a record label that I was with back from like 2018 to 2020. Mm-hmm. So I moved to town in 2017, which was exactly what I needed to do to pay my bills
Sure.
And focus on music 110% of my time instead of swing a hammer. And what I was doing, I had people telling me I needed a record deal. So I went and got a record deal. And then they were like, well, now what? And then the person that basically signed me moved to a different company. And I was like, well, now what? And then they're like, well, I don't know. What do we do with you? And I was like, I don't know. I've been doing this stuff with this guy. Doesn't this sound good? And COVID went down. And so when all that went down, it was like, I didn't pick out half the songs. I didn't pick out the EP cover. All of these things kind of came together around me. And I was like in the room saying, right, so this is our favorite picture we got up here. This is like the Mormon go. Okay, cool. I trust everybody. I trust y'all. I get it.
Sure.
Because when you get there, they're like, "Damn, you're talented. What do you want to do?" And I'm like, I just want to take my band into the studio and kind of capture what we do live and just capture something new in that live sound. Well, it's like, yeah, but that never works. And it's like, all right, well, what do you want me to do? And so you do what they want you to do for as long as you can fucking get away with it, I guess, or until something pops, until it works. And nothing I ever did in town felt authentically like me. It always felt like, oh, that's awesome. It sounds like so-and-so produced it and so-and-so played drums and so-and-so played lead guitar. And you can pick out everything that's going on from all the guys that are doing everything else.
Yeah.
So that's on the radio and that's being recorded. Like, it's the same sound. And from somebody who just listens to the shit all the time. I mean, it's not shit. Excuse my language. Just, you know what I mean?
No,
it's
all right. Trust me. It's all right.
When you're obsessed with this stuff, like fans are, they hear it too.
Yeah.
They can hear straight through it. And when it all starts to feel the same is when you start to lose me. And so I was like, just let me go capture something. Maybe. Maybe it's an audition for producer.
Sure.
And so I had to get out of that relationship. Into another label relationship who understood that but still didn't really let me have the reins at first. It took me starting to just say no.
Sure.
And just like after the first project with the first producer didn't work and they invested so much money into it that I now had to pay back, it was like, no.
Yeah.
Nope. I'm not working with so-and-so because I don't know him. I've never worked with him before. I won't work with so-and-so unless I work with this guy. I'll work with this guy, and if we need to go do an audition with my band in a studio for nothing first, then that's what we'll do. But I'm not going to let you invest any more money into anybody else that I now have to pay them back after you don't like it.
Right. And you know, I think that's great. I think that's great because at some point, right, I feel like a lot of people, and this is not like the first time I've heard something like this, but a lot of people say they feel like they have to be the yes person, right? The yes man, because they are new and they don't really know they're evergreen, right? They don't really know what's going on and they just feel like they have to say yes. But then when you get to a point where you can say no, where you're like, you know what? I know what I want. I don't want someone telling me how to do it a certain way. Like, this is my life. This is my career. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. You get to a point when you can say that, and then you become authentically yourself 100%. And it takes a lot of balls to be able to do that, right? And to be able to say, no, like, I'm not doing that. It takes a lot of nuts.
It took throwing a bomb in my whole situation and losing half my team and just like creating this thing that is now so authentically me that half of them went, oh shit, okay, well, this isn't really what we do, but we get it.
Yeah.
Then the other half of them going, well, damn, you're the reason we were even involved.
Sure.
But we love it too. Like, what do we do now? And so they gave me my record.
I love what you said before. You were like, well, they told me to just go out and get a record deal. So that's what I did. You make it sound just like it was like a straight shot. And obviously there was so much work that I put into it. You've been playing music forever, but I mean, I love your mentality because I think that so many people, and tell me if I'm wrong here, but I think that so many people kind of get so wrapped up in the fact that, and they're, you know, bushy tailed, like, oh, I'm going to move to town. I'm going to put some music out. I'm going to, you know, play this, that, write these songs and, you know, get a record deal and play out, whatever, that they forget about the fact that why'd they start doing it? Because they love the music, right? Like that's why they started doing it. Forget all the other BS. You know, it's why'd you pick up a guitar when you were 10, right? You know, why'd you fall in love with music when you were 6, 7 years old, probably younger than that, right? Like, why? What is the overcompassing purpose? Because you love it. And that's literally it. So I feel like a lot of that gets lost on a lot of people, especially a lot of young people, where they're like, oh, I'm going to, you know, go and go. Right. Right.
Like, don't worry about it. It's getting famous and getting rich. And it's like, I'm not in this shit for the money, people. I'm not in it for fame. I'm in this to make great country music. Like,
exactly.
Other than that, like, if the rest of it happens, cool. If it doesn't, then I probably did something wrong.
Right.
But I haven't been given the opportunity to test that theory yet. So sure. Like, let me have the reins, and like, this is what's about to happen. I'm about to test it and see.
Right.
And honestly, even without any kind of like critical acclaim, I'm still more proud of this record than I've ever been of anything. And I hear it and I fucking love it. So whether or not like,
right.
Or what is not up to me, I have absolutely zero power over that. But I mean, it's to me, I think it's authentically me. And to me, I think it's great country music. So
I think it's great too, dude. Like I really do. And I really want to talk about it. I like, honestly, and you know, if you're listening to this right now, now you know what I'm talking about. But this morning I tweeted out, I said, I think I've listened to my favorite record of the entire year. I am 100% serious when I say this. And a couple of my friends are like, well, what is it? I was like, well, I can't tell you. Like, you'll see later on. Like, don't worry about it. Right. And I truly believe that. And I think the reason why is because, you know, you look at this, at this record, right. And the title track to the song is, or to the album is State of Country Music, right? That is the title track of, and that is the name of the record. And so it's going to be 12 songs. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing that I love the most is no song is exactly the same. Everything kind of has a little bit of flair to it. And, you know, I listened to the whole thing before I even knew that you spent so much time in Louisiana. And I was like, this has to be some sort of Louisiana project. Like there's gotta be something here, right? It's got the gospel roots to it. It's got that rock roots to it. It's got that country twang to it, right? It's got everything that's so great about country music in these 12 songs. And, everything is just, it is the reason why full records are so awesome. Cause you have something like one of my favorite songs. I don't really know why this one sticks out to me. Mr. Jerry's Ghost, I think, is so cool, right? Like, I think that's so cool. But I also think that State of Country Music, like as a country ballady type thing, is probably my favorite. But
that's good.
But it's so hard for me to distinguish like what my favorite song is, because, and I've listened to it like at least 5 times all the way through, and I'm still not there yet. I'll get there. By the time it comes out, I'll be there. Trust me. I will know what my favorite song is. But, how did you decide that these 12 songs were the project? Cause I know, like, you know, you've been writing so much and you've been, you know, playing around with your sound and that stuff takes time. Like, how did you decide that these were the perfect songs for this project and for you?
So, you know, you spent all of my time here writing songs, and not just songs, but like what I consider really, really good songs, because I'm writing some of the best in town, if not the best in town, and developing these relationships, and they're getting to know me, and I'm getting to know them. And over time, if it's not the first time you write with these people, but like over the next couple of times, you usually end up with like one or two really good songs. And
yes.
So at this point I have like records piled up ready to record of different songs, concept albums, just different piles of what I feel are great songs that I've written since I've been here, and I'm sure I'll write more. And so it's just, God, this one came together. We were playing a live show of the 5 songs, or with 4 or 5 of the songs that I had recorded with the first producer in 2021 that didn't work. And I did a whole tour touring most of these songs, with some other songs splashed in. And then right after that summer, into the fall, I wrote State of Country Music and Adderall Head almost simultaneously. And I had never played Jerry's Ghost live, but I had it and I knew I wanted to record it. It was one of those things where the record label I was with, the A&R person I was working with, or who was my point person, finally came out and saw a live show that I played in town. I played 30 shows in 2021 and
should not take 30 shows.
Nobody had come to a single one of them, and we played some big shows and they were awesome. Like the live show that people were seeing, like most people were sold, and like watching the social media numbers like jump, you know, 100 people after one show is like, that's a big number, people.
Yeah.
From that crowd, we got at least like 10% of the crowd. Like, that's a huge number. Like, I don't know. To me, keep putting us in front of people. And
yeah,
that's how I'll grow my fan base. So at the end of the, literally the night before we were going into the studio for our audition to, for the producer that we were trying to work with, he came out to one of the live shows. And after I got done, he was just like, oh my God, you have to record this and this one. You have to record this one. And I was like, well, I'm happy. Good.
Man, yeah.
You totally understand now. That's sure. why I've been pushing these songs. And the demos are what they are. They're Nashville demos. But like what we've been doing live is something different.
Right.
And I don't know why, but it's cool and it's edgier and it's more me. It's authentically me. And these dudes are playing what I want them to play. Yeah. And together, this collaborative sound that we're creating on stage is awesome. It's like, it's moving people. I was like, so I feel like we should just go capture it.
Sure.
That's exactly what we did, dude. And every dude walked in the studio and just knocked it out of the park. And it was like, I mean, just the parts that were played, I feel like everything was just supposed to happen because it was also effortlessly perfect, in my opinion. Like my dudes,
that's awesome.
Walking in there nailing it. I played half the acoustic parts, like the steel, some of the steel, one of my favorite moments in the whole record is that steel part on Adderall Head is the solo. Yeah. And that was our amazing steel guitar player just like doing all these awesome things, and we were finally like, Eddie, that's great, now pull your dick out and be fucking amazing, dude. And he was like, oh, okay. And he just blah, 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 and that was it. And I was like, oh my God, we're doing this together, guys.
Like, yeah,
we got this. We can do this. Like,
yeah,
come on, man. We're making country music.
It's incredible. Like, that's the mentality. Like, it's full speed ahead, and it seems like you're just diving on head first. Like, it's not even like there's no hesitation. You're just going for it, and you're playing exactly what you want to play. And I mean, everyone knows this, but that absolutely shines through in the songs. I mean, no matter what. Like, if you're holding back, people know. Like you said, there's people that listen to stuff and love this stuff and study it. Me, like, I should be the mascot. And you know when there's bullshit in songs, you know. And that is exactly not what you have here. Emphasis on the not. It is totally authentic, and it is fucking just absolutely nuts. Something I need to know, though, is we talked about the fact you've written for a bunch of other people, right? When you wrote these songs, did you know that they were your songs, or was there a thought that maybe you let someone else cut them?
There's been a handful where I was like, don't pitch that to anybody.
Okay. Do you know which ones? Like, can you tell me which ones?
We're doing live, that we're connecting. You Can't Tell Me Nothing is one of the songs that is the nice. Day we wrote it. I was like, I'm going to put that song out one day.
Yeah.
The state of country music, was a title that I had for years that I was literally sitting on until one day I was like, what if it's the state of country music I'm in? And then I brought it into the, I actually saved it for one of my favorite co-writers, who's Trick Savage, Patrick Savage. But then Will Jones was going to be in the room with us anyways. And Will Jones is countryer.
So good.
And he's amazing. So I was just like, oh, this is perfect. And sure enough, if it didn't take us 30 minutes when I walked in, I was like, I got this title that we're writing. And yeah, I was like, it's the title track to my record. However we write it, so we better write the shit out of it.
I love that.
But then I think it was Trick. He was just like, let's make it a sad, like a country song. I was like, yeah, I'm in. Like, I was like, but no matter what it is, it's the state of country music I'm in. And he was like, so if it's like, I don't know, like a breakup song or just a mood, I guess. And I was like, exactly. And we took off, and it was just
perfect.
To me, it's one of my favorite songs I've ever been a part of. And then that little guitar lick is Will Jones. Like when we're about to cut the work tape, and he just goes do 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 do, and I'm like, oh yes, dude.
Yeah. I think that's great.
That's me playing on the record, but
yeah,
Will Jones guitar part. You know what I mean? It's just like,
sure.
And to wouldn't have happened any other way.
Yeah. It's awesome. It's awesome. I mean, I think that's great. That's how that stuff kind of comes to be, because that's what makes songs so cool. And one thing that I love about the state of country music is that, and this is a lyric that I love that I had to write down after hearing it. And it was, there's a place inside my head where I like to go, where minor notes make sense and the highs feel low. The comfort that I find in the harmony and rhyme live between the lines that all my heroes wrote. That is exactly the reason why I love country music, for lines like that. You basically took my love for country music and put it in a verse. And that is so cool.
I couldn't tell you exactly who spit that one out. The song was a collaborative effort.
I don't care who spit it out. Just know that it's great.
Honestly, but as soon as I remember, like, just listening to it, it was one of those work tapes that you just didn't want to turn off. And I was just like, man, this is a big song, boys. Or in my opinion. And I sent him a text. I was like, I think we just wrote my title track to my next record.
I love it.
And started playing it. And just like, as soon as we got it down, if they don't understand this, if the label, if the manager, if everybody doesn't get this right here, then
everything's lost.
No, I have the wrong team.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true too.
And I need people who get it, because it's great. Paige, like, get on my side.
Right. So let me ask you. Right. So, like, you have this song, like, the state of country music, and there's a couple more things about this record that I want to talk about, but in terms of your just personal opinion, because I have an opinion on this as well, but where do you think the state of country music is currently? Because I know that the song is kind of talking about, you know, like, you're feeling like country music is great in all these different walks, right? Like, sometimes it needs a fiddle, sometimes it, you know, like, there's sometimes it needs a steel. There's all these things that make country music so great. Sad songs, you know, beer drinking songs, just fast paced, high pressure songs. Like, there's so many things that make country music so great. But in terms of your opinion, what do you think the state of country music is right now?
I think it's in the middle of, like, the shift, maybe. And
yeah,
back into something maybe a little bit more authentic, and focused a little less on a party and a good time and more on life. I don't know. The last few years have been tough for people. And it's like, I think music usually reflects life. The art usually reflects it, for sure. Country music's always 10 years behind everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So if in 5 more years we start to see a lot more sad songs out there in the radio that people are into, it would make complete sense to me, because I don't know, people are starting to write about life, and life isn't all Coors Light and tailgates, you know.
It is not.
And I think people maybe people got tired of it,
I agree.
Or in the middle of getting tired. Which is probably the reason Zach Bryan is as huge as he is, because he's writing senior year poetry, like, basically, and it's huge. And I totally get it. It's like, yeah, I get it. He's relating to every 18-year-old kid that's graduating high school right now, who wants to be that's completely different than what is being fed to them.
Yeah.
And it's just a phenomenon right now. It's fun to watch it. It is fun to watch it, because it's a huge middle finger to, like, the norm and the popular culture. It's just like, we do what we want.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And you know what? I totally agree with everything you just said. That is my personal opinion as well. I think that there's a shift going on. And I think in the last 5 years, we've gotten some of the best music that we've gotten in the last, I'd say, 4. We've gotten the best country music that we've gotten probably the 10 years prior to that. And I think that it's just going to continue to get better in the next 5. I agree with you. When it comes to Zach Bryan, man, I totally agree. I think there's some kid out there, and there's probably thousands of kids out there that are listening to stuff that they don't truly believe in, and they needed someone to pick up a guitar and say, hey, this is who I am, and this is what I want to do. And there's, you see this on social media, there's 10,000 other, you know, 18-year-old boys and girls who want to do the exact same thing. So that's why it's so relatable. And that's why, I mean, listen, like, up here, cowboy songs aren't as, you know, not as many people listen to cowboy songs, but there's a hell of a lot of people listening to Zach Bryan. So, you know, I think that it's great for the genre, and it's good for the music in general. I mean, it's great for music in general. So, whether I love it all or not, I think it's great for music. So,
yeah,
you know what I mean? So, yeah, there's something I want to ask you about here. So, there's a couple of things as I was going through this record that I kind of, I mean, they're probably pretty obvious, but when you go through this, it's basically a giant story, which is why albums are great. And that's why you make albums, right? A line that really hit me is, and I'm glad you said this before, but you can't tell me nothing. You said the day I turned 18, they said, boy, set down that six string. It's going to lead you down a lost highway. Did someone actually tell you that one? And I'm really glad that you just said screw it. But I'm only asking that because of the fact that, you know, your dad was a musician. So, I mean.
Yeah, he was the one.
He really was he?
Absolutely. Was like, no, son.
Wow. Why?
This is like I said, it's like trying to be a professional athlete, except extreme, like just like harder.
Yeah.
It's just like the odds of it happening. And he understood the lifestyle that comes with being a musician. And not even a musician in the military, just a musician, period. General. I feel like he almost knew exactly what I was going to have to fucking put myself through to even come close to being remotely lifestyle that might even be that of a country music singer. Like, sure. It's this commitment of your life to certain philosophies, to certain ways of living, to certain boundaries that you absolutely have to push and push past. And some of them are physical, some of them are spiritual, some of them are philosophical.
Sure.
Put down. I don't know if you're paying attention to country music, all of my heroes went through things just like that.
Sure.
So of course, why wouldn't somebody want to be just like all his heroes?
So who are some of those heroes, out of curiosity?
Shitty decisions. Man, like Willie Nelson,
yes.
Waylon Jennings, Ray Charles, Merle Haggard for sure, Johnny Cash, Dwight Yoakam, for God's sake, a fucking rock star. I love Dwight Yoakam.
Yeah.
All of those dudes were just bigger than life to me.
Yeah.
I know I'm leaving. Just a handful. So Travis Tritt, good God.
Oh, dude. Travis Tritt, when I was 16 years old, I listened to Travis Tritt for the first time. I always say this, but I started very late in terms of country. So I listened to Travis Tritt when I was like 16 for the first time. And I think I listened to Modern Day Bonnie and Clyde. But I also think I listened. What did you say?
My buddy James LeBlanc wrote that song.
Just there you go. I love that song, right? And
it's not one of my favorites.
I also listened to there was a ton that I listened to. Put Some Drive in Your Country, that was one of them. But I don't know. I was like, this was just a whole new world to me, right? Because it was nothing I ever. What's that?
TROUBLE.
That's right. That too, right?
Country Alive.
Exactly.
Whiskey Quit Working.
I mean,
all of the ballads that he had that were just gigantic. Help
anymore?
Me
hold. Like,
yeah, anymore, dude, come on, man.
And I mean, I know that this is, you know, but like Where Corn Don't Grow, like his version of that song, right? Like, it's nothing I ever experienced. And as a 16-year-old kid in suburban New Jersey, pulling up to high school, listening to that stuff, it was so weird. And I was definitely like a little closeted with it. Like, I wasn't so like, this is what I love, right? Like, I was definitely a little quiet about it. But man, it was the coolest thing for me. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, what am I missing? And there's a ton of other people out there that did that for me. But that was one of the ones that stuck out in my brain. I was like, man, this is sick. The long hair, like don't give a fuck attitude. It was awesome. It was so cool.
And what he wanted, man. Just like all his heroes did. Just like Marty Stewart was doing. That's why he pulled Marty Stewart in on that stuff, man. Like, just be authentically you and don't go chasing something, which is cool to me. And it still happens. It still totally happens. What country music, I feel like, has done is they've kind of adopted multiple genres at this point. And they've kind of all molded and melded into this one kind of thing.
Yeah.
What I'm hoping this, or even it's really like this. Like, I feel like we're going to have a rock genre back. We're going to have a pop genre back. And then we're going to have a country music genre back where people can rely on an actual loved and could rely on. Because when I wanted to switch the station and go listen to pop music, that's what I did. Yeah. When I wanted to switch the station and go listen to rock and roll, that's what I did. And I knew where the stations were, and I knew where I could go get them. Nowadays, I guess it's Spotify and,
sure,
and iTunes, and you have to go to the different, you know, whatever, or really just make your own playlist.
Yeah, right.
Soon. I have zero clue. And I can't even commit my time and my spirit and my soul worrying about it. So at this point, I've decided to move forward making records and start releasing them.
Please, please.
I'm probably going to put out three songs to the fans, to everybody. And this, starting with this record.
Right. And please, like I sit here and I kind of have, I feel like personally, and I'm sure that no one else thinks this, but for me personally, as I sit here on the other end of the screen, on the other end of this microphone, I have to be the person that kind of understands both sides of the story, whether I like it or not, right? Mm-hmm. Personally, as I sit here with you, I say, please give me every single record you have and never stop putting them out. I want 12 to 15 songs per album and I want them all at once, right? Right. But if I have someone who is 20 years old and just moved to Nashville to pursue music, and they say, well, Kyle, I can't afford a 12 song project, but I can afford three, and, or I can afford five, and I can put, you know, three out first and then give the other two. Then I have to sit here and say, that's your path. One day you'll be able to put out a full record. Right. And that's what I think a lot of people want to do that. Like, we were talking about kind of the turn in music and what we're getting. And I think most people, if you are a music fan and you are passionate about music, you would rather hear a project and why it makes a project than hear a song, right? Like, you would rather wait to hear any of it and hear all 15 at once than hear six of them. And then
I felt the same way.
Right.
But what's happening now is we have to kind of feed these digital marketplaces.
Sure.
Continually, and if you're not on this continual rotation and this and developing this relationship and pumping more into it monetarily every time you do it, then they're not going to release their algorithms to you and open you up and put you on the playlist that right. you know, you're not required to be on these playlists, but man, it would sure help. Good God, as far
totally.
As the value of being on a digital service provider, if they're throwing you on every playlist because they want to, that's different than throwing you on every playlist because the people are spinning you so many times that they have to.
And not everyone's good as Dan Smalley, remember that. So not everyone can hit the outreach that you can. Not everyone's just as badass as you, all right? So those playlists help.
What'd you say?
I said, so those playlists help, because not everyone's as badass as you. That's where I'm getting at.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. And I think there's a way to do it, and people are doing it the way that they think is right. And I think that there's a full circle to this, and that's kind of what we're getting at. And I love it. I love it. Do we have a, I'm going to ask you one more question here, because I wrote this down and I think it's really important, and I want to know the answer. And I think after getting to know you the last, you know, half hour or so, I think I might know the answer. But you say that you want to carry on country music legacy, and your words, the kind that your heroes are proud of. This project, it's just like, I mean, do you think that this is exactly who you are, who you want to be, who you want to be for the next 10 years, who some of your heroes would be proud of if they heard? I personally think nail on the head especially after hearing who some of your heroes are. Personally, I think nail on the head. Is this exactly what you want? Like, is this exactly who you want to be 10 years, 20 years down the line?
Yeah, I'll be playing this record my whole life. These songs, yeah. I could forever. I can do this. I can do that guy in this record my whole life. And it's the most authentic representation of me and what I do on stage that I've come with. I mean, it took me going and doing it. It took me producing the record. It took me producing my vocal. It took me saying, don't touch the mixes anymore. It took me, you know, but sometimes it takes that. Sometimes right. For an artist, for some artists, not all artists, but for this artist, for this guy, it took me literally stamping every single process of it and just making sure that it lived up to my standard. and that's the only time it was good enough,
right,
in my opinion.
Yeah.
Which, as the artist, has to hold weight and it has to matter.
Matters the most.
And if you, and if, when you find yourself in a position where it doesn't matter anymore, you're in the wrong position.
Amen.
Or I don't know, maybe you're not an artist, or maybe you're not that kind of, we're all different, I guess. It is what it is. But it, you know what I mean? Unless you care, like if you don't care that much, you, I don't know. To me, it shows. You can tell. Like,
it does show. I promise you it shows.
Like, you have to obsess about this shit. And when you're not, then you're putting shit out that you don't believe in, and everybody can see it. And sometimes you end up singing that song forever because it's making some other people and yourself a lot of money. To me, that would be a nightmare.
And it's not worth it either.
It's, totally,
it's not worth it.
Like, I can never be shaking anything when I, now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, I can still play my guitar and sing my ass off, though. So, like, if you want that guy to show up, listen, I can do that. But to expect,
you're staying stationary there, Dan. You're staying stationary.
I mean, we move. We rock her. We rock out a little bit on stage. It's fun. It's a good time.
It's a good move. It's nothing that you don't.
You
nothing
come
that in 10 years, you're not like, move on. I love it. I fucking
no,
love it.
Definitely. Yeah. It's just one of those things where I've committed to this path that I'm playing. I don't hear anybody else that sounds like me and that's doing right. This kind of this music that I just created. This is my lane.
That's right. I love it.
Fuck out my way.
That's right. Stay out of the tracks when the train's coming. Remember that. Stay out of the track when the train's coming. Well, listen, I think that this project is everything that it needs to be and more. I think that it's phenomenal. I think that you're like that as an artist, you're incredible. As a writer, you're incredible. And you're the package. You're everything that a music passionate fan wants, right? You are the, what do they call it? The three tool person. I don't know what word I'm looking for here, but you're everything a music fan, a music lover wants. You write songs that kick ass. I listen, I think that you're incredible and I love this record. I'll continue to love this record. I can't wait for more records, and I'll continue to share this record with everyone I know. Cause I think that, you know, when it comes out, I think that everyone's going to love it. And, I'm just excited for it.
And
I'm ready for
put
it.
Out the whole thing.
Put out the whole thing all at once. Do it.
I should. All right, we'll see.
I say 12 songs all at once.
You think people would listen to the whole record?
I think so. I think it's good enough that everyone will listen to it.
You think they would keep listening to it, though?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so. Right, I think so. Important. You know why?
I haven't turned it off yet.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's why. And this is a guy who's heard the whole thing and has heard the whole thing at the very least 5 times all the way through in the last week, right?
Thank you, man. Thank you.
So, yeah. So if you think about it, if there is 100,000 more me's, they're going to do the exact same thing.
That's true, and that's 1,200,000 listen spins, and that adds up over weeks. You're right, my man.
Exactly. So
that's where I'm trying to get. You're right.
Exactly. So if you got the cojones, you'll put it all out at once. Now
do
I get
it. Do me a favor.
It.
Copy this video. Do me a favor. Make a copy of this video and send it directly to my attorney and my distributor.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
Is it smart? I don't know. But
I
if
don't
it was me.
Either,
I just say, go for it.
Man, it's really working for a lot of people out there. Like, the amount of music that Zach Bryan put out, like, just at the beginning. And then even watching guys that are in the industry, like Luke Combs and Morgan Wallen, and these dudes put out bodies of work, like 20 to 30 songs in a record, and then maybe doing it once or twice a year. Is like, it's because people are consuming. They're consuming the shit out of their music, and that's exactly what I'm gonna do. If I put this out and shit takes off, I'm gonna follow it with a bonus record, and then I'm gonna follow it with another record, and maybe it'll be a double and a concept album after that, and a honky tonk record, and all kinds of shit coming. So I mean, there's no reason we come up here and we invest our lives in this town and into these songwriters and into these songs, and we compile up thousands of songs. I've been here, and it's like, why in the hell would we ever not let these songs have life? Like,
amen.
All my heroes put out record after record after record after record because they made records, because that's what they did. That's what I'm going to do.
I love it. Keep doing it. Don't stop. Do it forever. Never stop. Please. I beg you. Don't. Do it till you die. I'm telling you, just let it roll. It'll work for you. And like we said, the tables are turning. Stuff is coming back around, and I think you're here at the right time, and you're gonna blow up, and that's all I ever want to see. So I appreciate you. I appreciate you coming to hang out with me. I appreciate you talking about some music. You're a hell of a dude. You're a straight shooter. You don't beat around the bush, and that's exactly what I try and be. So I think that's why we get along. But
I'm being honest.
Listen, if you're being honest, why not, right? I love it. Everybody, you can go follow Dan on Instagram at Dan Smalley Music, all one word, and keep track with, you know, all his updates on music and so much more. Incredible writer, an incredible artist, and just one hell of a dude that, you know, you have no reason to not absolutely love. And if you don't know him now, you will. Thank you for tuning into another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. Remember to rate, subscribe, give us 5 stars if you love the episode, and follow us on Instagram at @RCM_podcast. New episodes come out every Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central, wherever you listen to podcasts. iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, it's there. Go stream with your friends, go share it with your friends, and you know, keep on tuning in and week out. This is another episode of the RCM Podcast. I'm Kyle Corbis. That's Dan Smalley. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye now.